You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special Christmas edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Christmas in the sense that I'm going to be answering questions that deal specifically with the Christian Christmas narrative. As always, the resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to start with a question that I think is very, very important because it's asked over and over again during the Christmas holidays. How could someone like Daniel, who is writing 6 centuries before the time of Christ, have predicted exactly what was going to happen hundreds of years later? Or perhaps we might ask, why are messianic prophecies a golden key that ends up unlocking the hearts of even hardened skeptics? I ask that question in light of the words that we find in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This, of course, is a prophecy made by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Prophecy, I think, is so important for us because what it does is represent one of the most powerful proofs of the divine origins of the biblical text. And the book of Daniel is a classic case in point. Sometimes we forget that he was writing in the midst of the 6th century Babylonian captivity. And at that time, Yahweh, the God of Israel, reveals through Daniel his present and, I would say, his eternal purposes for Israel and, of course, for the world. So Daniel ends up accurately predicting a progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including the Syrian despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple and his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus way back in 165 BC. What's interesting about this is something that is remembered in Jewish congregations around the world every single year. It is one of those epic events in human history, an epic event that involves an Old Testament Antichrist. And so the book of Daniel prophetically looks forward to the coming of Messiah. Now, Jewish congregations are not looking forward to the coming of Messiah as happened 2,000 years ago. They don't believe Messiah has yet come. But think about what Jeremiah prophesied. Jerusalem, said Jeremiah, would experience a partial restoration after 70 years of exile. However, as revealed through the angel Gabriel, the return from exile was merely a type of the antitypical freedom that would be experienced through Judas Maccabeus, which itself was typological of something. That something is the ultimate restoration that comes through Jesus, the Messiah. And we have to look at the singular fact that Jesus ends up being the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And therefore, it should never surprise us that when we read the scripture, prophecies regarding Jesus outnumber all other prophecies. And many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus to deliberately conspire to fulfill. How could he do that with respect to his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or his birth in Bethlehem? Or, think about this, his crucifixion with criminals as foretold by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. The piercing of his hands and his feet on the cross, or the soldiers gambling for his clothes, the piercing of his side, and the fact that his bones were not broken at his death. And maybe the capstone is, ironically, his burial among the rich. And perhaps the most beloved of all the Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah, who 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, think about that, 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, wrote these immortal words. We all know them. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In other words, the possessor of eternity. And the moniker Prince of Peace. Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of these kind of majestic monikers. And not only that, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy made the ultimate prediction: destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Over the years, I have discovered time and time again that messianic prophecy is the golden key that unlocks the hearts of even hard-boiled skeptics. How is it possible that the Old Testament prophets were able to predict the coming of Christ with such meticulous precision? His ancestry, you can't fake that. His birthplace, remember Micah said that it would be Bethlehem Ephratah, and only Bethlehem Ephratah would do. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only one could be the fulfillment of the words of the Old Testament prophets. Or think about the details surrounding his death. He was to be crucified. Now, crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. It was invented long before the Romans by the Persians. It was only popularized by the Romans. And yet the details of his crucifixion were given to us in such meticulous fashion that only Jesus and the death of Jesus on the cross could be their fulfillment. Well, this is one of those issues that I'm so excited about, Messianic prophecy. I've written about this in many different places, including The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've written about this as well in my book, Has God Spoken? Many of these resources, in fact, all of them, can be found on the web at equip.org. When I come back from the break, I'm going to answer the question, did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that discredits Scripture when he said that Augustus Caesar issued a decree that a census should be taken and that that decree would take place when Jesus Christ was born? We're going to answer that objection when we come back.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. www.ccrc.org.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And you have tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm answering questions that are raised over and over again this time of the year. And as we say so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we are called to be ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to do that with gentleness and with respect. The whole idea is not to win the argument. It is to reach a person. A person who without Jesus Christ has a vacuum that will never be filled. Before the break, I was mentioning a question that comes up over and over again this time of the year. It's actually a question that is motivated by something that Dr. Luke said in Luke chapter 2. And Luke is considered to be a meticulous historian. And therefore, this question calls into question a larger question. How reliable is not only Dr. Luke, but how reliable is the Bible at all? The words of Dr. Luke in chapter 2 have to do with those days in which Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And according to Luke, everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and, at the time, was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, on NBC, there was a special called The Birth of Jesus. And on that special, a man named Dr. John Dominic Crossan, who happens to be co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar, called into question the historical veracity of the Bible by saying, Luke tells us the story that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus had decreed a census of the whole earth. And then he said this, "Now, every scholar is going to tell you that there was no such census ever." The question we have to ask at this point is he correct or is the canon correct? If he's correct, the canon is corrupt. So did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder that effectively discredits sacred scripture? In an age in which the historical reliability of the Bible is being questioned, it is ever more crucial that Christians are equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. So, how do we respond to critics like John Dominic Crossan? Is his pontification on NBC a defensible argument, or is it merely a dogmatic assertion? Well, it turns out to be the latter. It's a dogmatic assertion. While Crossan made his pontification with typical bravado, it's patently false. Caesar Augustus was famous for census taking. So famous, in fact, that this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. The Jewish historian Josephus actually refers to a Roman taxation in AD 6, and considering the scope of the taxation, it is logical to assume that it took a very long time to complete. Undoubtedly, it began with Caesar Augustus around 5 BC and was likely completed a decade later. But there's more. Luke, ever the meticulous historian, notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. An ancient historian, Dr. Paul Meyer, co-author of one of my books, an esteemed professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University, noted once on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that Romans took 40 years to get a census done in Gaul. And therefore, for a province 1,500 miles away from Rome to take a decade is eminently reasonable. Not only that, but since the census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it would correctly be labeled as his census. And not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more circumspect for someone like John Dominic Crossan to temper his dogmatism, and those who follow in his train should do so as well. These are issues that are not trivial. These are critical issues. If Luke is wrong, the Bible is wrong. And if the Bible is wrong here, how can we trust the Bible as a reliable authority? We need to remember the experience of a brilliant archaeologist. His name was Sir William Ramsay. He was very much like Crossan in his own day. He was bent on undermining Luke's historical reliability. And therefore, through his painstaking Mediterranean archaeological adventures, he was expecting, well, to underscore his own biases. But something else happened. He discovered that one after the other, the historical allusions that Dr. Luke provides were accurate. If, as Ramsay points out, Luke does not err in referencing a plethora of countries and cities and islands and all the details that surround them, then there's no reason to doubt him concerning the census either. So on this sacred occasion, an occasion where we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ by way of celebration, why not make a commitment that we ask you to make each and every year, not just once, but throughout the year? Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, even if you don't have an answer ready at your fingertip, you can always research and return, and a great place to do that is on the web at equip.org. That's why we pray And we do pray about this earnestly. May God use your well-reasoned answers this Christmas season as an opportunity to share the grace, the truth, the light that only the Christ of Christmas can bring to the human heart. And once again, I ask people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, not because the organization needs it, but because in giving to us, you give through us and touch the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thank you this Christmas season as you stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.